we have an opportunity. If we were to ask today, what are the greatest challenges that face our world today, we would get a variety of answers. Those answers probably would depend upon who you spoke to, what political leader might be giving that answer, Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. And even in these areas, there still would be a wide variety of answers to the question, you know, what's the greatest challenge that our world faces today? Some would say, you know, it's the challenge of world hunger. Sad, isn't it, to think about children going to bed tonight with no food. I'm still trying to recover from lunch, you know. Some would say it's the challenge of global warming. You know, we need to be concerned about our environment and not doing things that would harm our environment for future generations. Others might say, well, you know, just look at the economic climate in our world today. We need to try to stabilize our economy. That's the greatest challenge we have by far. Still others would say, you know, what about world peace? Look at the threat of terrorism and those that would try to take away our freedoms. That's a challenge that is certainly something we need to consider. Tonight I want to talk about what truly is, I believe, the greatest challenge for us as Christians, for us who are a part of the Lord's church in 2010. We find that challenge over in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Jesus said there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What a great challenge our Lord has given us as His body of people. To take the gospel, the good news of salvation to a lost and dying world. It's a challenging commission for several reasons. Number one, we have to make it our focus and we need to put it as our top priority to make sure that we begin right here at home, that we teach those that we come in contact with, that we share the gospel with our neighbors and our friends and our schoolmates. But, you know, that challenge also involves how we live our lives each day. We have an influence. We have an example. And part of our evangelistic efforts center around our being the kind of people God would have us to be. We actually can share the good news of the gospel by the way that we live, by the attitudes that we possess as they observe our behavior wherever we might be. And so I believe this great commission challenges the very fiber of who we are as God's people. It affects our behavior. It affects our desire to save those that we know that are lost in sin. And with that in mind tonight, I want us to talk about this great commission by looking at the four alls that we find in this passage. And you no doubt can point these all out right from memory to begin with. But I think they underscore the challenge that we have and the importance of carrying the gospel to those that know it not. First of all, we find that Jesus said, "All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We need to realize tonight that our Lord has the power to do all the work of mediation and grace between God and man. Jesus was and he is the Son of God in his divine nature and had from eternity that almighty power. And to our Lord was all authority committed. That our Lord should be prophet, priest, king, mediator, intercessor, and savior of his people, and the judge of everything that he has created. And so we need to realize that we have been given the commission that was founded upon his work. And we are to do that work. Its application is to men of every age. It was our Lord's mission to come and to seek and save the lost, was it not? Luke 19, verse 10. The Lord's mission must be our mission. We cannot become sidetracked from it. We cannot allow anything to deter us from that mission. The worldly cares that we deal with on a daily basis, the busy schedules that we have, the deadlines that we have to meet, all of these things are secondary when we think about the challenge of sharing the good news of salvation with those who do not do it. Jesus has all authority. Our society, by and large today, disrespects authority. Sometimes we are appalled at the behavior of even young children in school today. It seems like people are out of control. They don't respect authority. They don't respect the authority of their parents. And the result is they don't respect the authority of their teachers at school or the laws of the land, the police officers. And if they don't respect authority in the home to begin with, they certainly aren't going to respect the authority of God. But Jesus has authority, all authority. He has the right to say what he says. And Jesus has revealed to us what his will is. Jesus, when he went back to his Father, told his apostles there that I'm going to send to you a comforter. And that comfort is going to come to you, and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. He will guide you into all truth. Not some truth, but all truth. We know how that took place. We know how the inspiration was then in the inspired men. The inspired men wrote those things down, which we now have an inspired book. And this book tonight that I have in my hand and that you have in your hand, this is the authority. The words of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words hath one that judgeth him. These words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Paul talked about the authority of Jesus Christ when he said in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that is all in all. Who's the head of the church? It's Jesus Christ. Who has the right to dictate and determine what the church does and how the church functions? It's Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the Hebrew writer said that God, who at various times and in various ways spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus, as it were, through the deliverance of his message at his will, through the apostles and through their writings, Jesus speaks to us today through his word. He lets us know what his will is for our lives. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all of the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. You see, one day the Lord is coming back. One day a great separation will take place. And on that day, we're going to be judged by the authority of our Lord, by the things that He has said to us in His Word in compared to the life that we've lived here upon this earth. Jesus has all authority. He has all power. And notice here in the second place, Jesus said, in view of My authority and because of My authority, you go therefore and you teach all nations. Aren't you thankful the gospel's not just for a certain few people? It's not just for those who are the socially elite or those that are well off financially. The gospel's not just for those of a certain race or a certain nation. The gospel is for everyone. We sing that song sometimes, and I love that song. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of His gladness today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? We are to carry the gospel to all nations. Last week in our lesson, we talked about Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2 and how that Jesus was the bringer of peace and how that Jesus brought Jew and Gentile together, and He did that in one body, which is His church. And Jesus brought peace where there was once hostility, and He brought those together. And the hostility, the enmity, was done away with because of the blood of His cross. And now, thankfully, both have been reconciled as one in Christ Jesus. The gospel's for everyone. Every person in every nation under heaven has the right to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses of Me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. And how encouraging it is to turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 and read down in verse 23 that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. And that can be true in our lifetime. We have the financial ability. We have the manpower. We have the technology. All we need and all we lack is the desire and the focus. We have the saving message. We have the cure for sin. We have the hope of salvation. We just need to share the good news. And then may I point out as well tonight that not only does Jesus have all authority, not only does He tell us to go preach the gospel to all people of all nations, but we also need to understand Jesus said that we are to teach them to observe all things that He has commanded us. I'm afraid sometimes people make the mistake, if we could just somehow baptize an individual, our work is done. That's all we really need to do. But that's one of the greatest mistakes we can make, isn't it? To lead somebody to know how to become a Christian, but then we lead them to the baptistry and they're baptized, they become a child of God, and then sometimes we just abandon them. We wouldn't do that to a newborn baby, would we? You know, we would think how horrible it is for a new mom to have that newborn child and just abandon that child, to let him fend for himself. Couldn't do it, he'll die. So will a person spiritually. When somebody obeys the gospel, they are a babe in Christ. And that individual has to grow. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, once that individual obeys the gospel, you are to baptize him, and then you are to teach him to observe all things. Some people call that legalism today. That's just simply respecting the authority of God. Doing what God says in the way that God says to do it. You think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. He said, therefore, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled. And then notice the Lord said here, whosoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. There are commandments of Jesus that we need to obey. There are commandments of our Lord that we must adhere to in order to be faithful children of God. These things are to be taught. They are to be carried out in our everyday lives. Paul would say on one occasion, the things that I have taught, I want you to teach other people as I've taught you. I want you to be able to teach others so that they too can continue to carry on in the way that God would have them to live. So I have an admonition from God to not only learn God's word myself, but to commit that word to other people who in turn will be able to teach others also. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Doing the will of God is very, very important. That's why in Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them shall be likened unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. So notice the challenge here for us. We are to go into all nations. We are to teach and baptize those that we come into contact with. And we are to share with them all the things that God has commanded us, teaching them, instructing them, admonishing them, as Paul did throughout his public ministry. But I think the most important part of this admonition is the last part. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. It's difficult sometimes to do what the Lord wants us to do. We, like Paul, will experience persecution, ridicule, discouragement, and criticism will certainly come our way when we try to live a life of holiness. People that disagree with the message of salvation will certainly challenge us on many fronts. And if we keep on doing what we are to do, telling others of the good news, there's going to be things that get in our way that would cause us to become disheartened. And I'm thankful that Jesus promises you and me that He's going to be with us always. I think about temptation that we have to deal with as long as we're alive here upon this earth, because the devil is our adversary, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He's out to destroy us. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yet the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I love the words of John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." Now the hireling flees because he is a hireling. He does not care about the sheep. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The Lord says here He's going to be with us in those difficult times, those dark hours that we're going to face here in the path of life. And we can put our confidence and trust in Him that after our struggles in this life are over and our faithful life of service to Him has ended, that He's going to be there for us even as we cross over the valley of the shadow of death. I love this particular poem that I'm sure you probably, or some of you probably, have on the wall of your home. I think it says a lot. It says here, "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life, and for each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life that there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest, the very saddest times in his life. And this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. 'Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, that you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, that you would leave me.' The Lord replied, 'My son, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" I think there's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. He is my Savior. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. And He will be with me, He says, until the end. I hope tonight that salvation is something that you enjoy. I hope you're benefiting from salvation even tonight. I hope you're one here tonight that has obeyed the gospel. But tonight, if it be the case that you're outside of Christ, you've never made that decision to become a Christian, I want to encourage you to do so tonight. If you believe in Jesus Christ tonight with all of your heart, in that faith, be willing to repent of your sins. And tonight, you can be baptized into Jesus Christ, buried with your Lord in baptism where his blood was shed. And tonight, you can obey the gospel and you can leave this building a New Testament Christian. The invitation tonight is yours. If you need to come, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.